In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we heard about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John. At his baptism, Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God, God himself in the flesh. But he's nothing much to look at. The Gospels don't record Jesus' physical appearance at all. We can only recognize Jesus by the gift of the Holy Spirit that he received in his baptism. The same Holy Spirit you received at your baptism. That's the only way we can recognize Jesus as the Christ, as our Savior. We can't recognize Jesus as the Christ, as our Savior, just by witnessing what he does. That may surprise you, thinking about all the miracles, thinking about the teaching, even the resurrection itself. But remember how the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected him, even though they witnessed the miracles and heard his teaching. Remember, too, how many of Jesus' own disciples, who were from that miraculously fed 5,000, turned away because they found his teachings too hard to accept. Were it not for faith, you wouldn't, you couldn't accept Jesus' teaching. You couldn't speak the creed without scoffing. If not for faith, you couldn't see that the cross is anything more than a gruesome execution. You couldn't see your sin atoned for in Jesus' bloody wounds and final breaths. If not for faith, you couldn't see a sinful child drowned in this font and resurrected a holy, new, perfect creature in the same pour of water. If not for faith, you couldn't see that the food and drink from this altar that are put into your mouth are the real and actual body and blood of Jesus, regardless of what you may perceive or think. It is only by faith that John could see the Father's purpose in Jesus and could know what Jesus was doing. John rightly named him the Lamb of God, the pure and holy one come to be slaughtered to atone for the sin of corrupt and unholy men. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Though he was humble, Jesus had the promise of God behind him, so that his words and his death had the power to do exactly what God promised they would. So take note of this. Jesus is humble. His work is only recognized by faith. Now Isaiah describes it in a peculiar way. Jesus, called and named from birth to fulfill God's specific purpose, is described as a sword hidden, an arrow concealed. In other words, Jesus is God's secret weapon against death and sin and Satan. So note this too. By faith, we recognize Jesus as God's secret weapon for our salvation. Now, it's not that Jesus hides in the shadows or wraps himself in obscurity, but that he's just so humble in appearance, so foolish seeming in his teaching, that you would never expect him to be strong. Victory and defeat, life from death, power from weakness, strength from suffering, holy saints from filthy scumbags. Jesus looks and sounds like a joke. Until, that is, you see and hear in faith. Then you see hell overthrown. You see Satan defeated, death destroyed, heaven opened, peace declared, a victorious king ruling from a bloody throne, an undying Lord building a temple from redeemed sinners. A new age begun, the universe renewed, justice at hand. All this accomplished out of love for you. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And he's baptized you. Because you too have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You too have been called and named at your rebirth from the womb of this font to fulfill God's purpose and calling in your life. And what is that purpose? To live in faith toward him and in love toward one another. What does that look like? Well, just more sinners gathering here in this place where Jesus abides. Because, you see, it is too light a thing, too small, too modest for God to save only you people in the pews today. Jesus has won salvation for all the world. And that means all of Owego, all of Cander, Newark Valley, Apalachin, Binghamton, Nichols, and all of the places wherever you are and whoever you meet. And God has anointed you to do this very thing. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He has honored you, and he's declared you his beloved child. So you don't need to spend your days trying to please God as if his opinion of you depended on how well you behave and how hard you try to win his heart. Your Father is already well pleased with you because Jesus gave you his heart. You don't need to worry your conscience, wringing your hands with guilt, because forgiveness is already given to you. And it's pronounced again and again every single time you come here in repentance. The gifts of Jesus here make you free from your guilt, free from your shame, free from your weakness, from your anxieties and your insecurities, free to do God's work unhindered by the load of sin on your heart. Now, Jesus in these days is humble and despised by the world. He uses humble and despised means to do his work. Some plain water, some bread, some wine, a book, and a bunch of sinners. And let's be honest, we are a humble lot here. Whether we realize it or not all the time. I mean, no one would expect divine power working in us. We're not attractive to the world. We're not a congregation of impeccable dressers or chiseled physiques, of perfect manners or charity. We aren't cool or hip or fashionably intellectual. We aren't even super spiritual or perfectly pious or especially wise. We don't know our Bibles from cover to cover, and we can't always recite the catechism without mumbling a little bit. And we've got a wide-eyed stumbling pastor as well, who is as young or younger than many of your children, with his own sets of shortcomings and failures. So, we're a humble lot of sinners, living in a humble little town. We are despised by the world. And yet here, for us, and now in us, is the power of God, is the victory of Christ, is the glory of heaven. In Christ, we are more than our humble appearance suggests. God has chosen each of you in Jesus to be his secret weapon against Satan here in this place and in this little town. Take note of this and remember, God has chosen you in Jesus to be his secret weapon against Satan here in Owego. God is not only at work, you see, in grand cathedrals or synodical headquarters, at seminaries or institutes or churches with 1,000 cars in the parking lot. He is working his cosmic, universe-altering, life-creating, death-eradicating, devil-quashing power right here in Little Owego. And you are his means to do it. Though you are a humble creature, you have God's promise behind you. In Jesus, you have become a divine weapon against our oppressor, Satan. Satan, who wants all people to wander blindly in the darkness of the world. Satan wants us to be cold and hungry and addicted and miserable, sick with disease, sick with guilt, sick with shame. He wants us to be selfish and arrogant and divided and alone. He wants us to witness our neighbor's suffering evil and to do nothing about it. Satan doesn't want you to speak God's truth to your wayward spouse or children. Satan doesn't want you to reconcile with the person sitting a few pews away from you. He doesn't want you to look beyond a person's hygiene or weird habits or that weird hurtful thing they once did. He doesn't want you to forgive them. He doesn't want you to treat them as your beloved brother or sister. He doesn't want you to act as though you were a humble, forgiven sinner, just like anyone else. Satan doesn't want you to talk to your agnostic friend about Jesus. He doesn't want you to meet your neighbors whom you've been avoiding, lest you speak the gospel to them, lest you show your love to them, lest you bring them here to where Jesus is, and all those demonic schemes come tumbling down around the devil's head as those humbled sinners see and hear, maybe for the first time, the love of Jesus for them. The love of Jesus that frees them from their addictions to sin, their vicious cycles, their bottomless despair, and gives them unconditional love and acceptance and life. Already, God has equipped you. He's already equipped you to do all of this stuff perfectly. To do this exactly here, where you are right now in your life. Whether you are 8 or 18, whether you are 20 or 40 or 80. Now, you've all been given so much already. I mean, each of you, distinct gifts. Some of you have steady jobs and stable families to make your home a safe and hospitable place. Some of you have resources in the community for getting things done for people who can't do it themselves. Some of you have time to study the Word so that you can teach and mentor the young. Time to babysit so that a parent can sleep or shower or come to Bible study. Time to change the world by praying to your Father. And to all of you, God has given a holy family in Jesus, gathered here at Zion and stretching across the world. He's given you His truth, clearly preached and taught. He sent you a pastor to deliver you all of His gifts of forgiveness, to speak forgiveness right into your lives, right into your specific circumstances and your specific sins, right into your very own ears. God has given you a place where you are safe from everything the world can throw at you. You can hide in your Savior's crucified and risen body. You can come and take refuge in His body, in your family, the church, where you will always be accepted and forgiven and loved and surrounded in prayer and mercy. And most precious of all the things that God has given to you, equipped you with, you have God's promise. Now you remember David and Goliath? Goliath stood towering and proud over the battlefield. His confidence was in his strength and in his skill. His armor was thicker, his weapons were bigger than anyone else's. How could he possibly fail? The only one who would challenge him was David. David was too scrawny to wear the armor. He had no skill with the sword. Though no one expected him to survive, much less conquer. And yet David was better equipped than the whole Philistines' army combined. Because David was anointed by the Lord. Coming to battle with nothing but God's promise, there was no way he could lose. It wasn't just David facing Goliath. It was Jesus on that battlefield, fulfilling God's promises. Jesus himself won the battle. Jesus himself was David's strength. Jesus himself is your strength too. Because you too are God's anointed. Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit at your baptism is your anointing to life. Jesus' promise of forgiveness in life is your confidence to act. Jesus' body and blood is your strength to endure and persevere. Know this and take it to heart. Jesus himself is your strength and your victory over all evil. So do not fear. And in the face of the seemingly insurmountable task before you, take comfort in your humility. You know, rightly, that you can't convince every skeptic to believe. You can't heal every bleeding heart. You can't bear to carry along every limping soul. So follow the example of St. Andrew, who we met in our gospel reading today. All he did, all he could do, was go to his brother and bring him to where Jesus was staying. And we should hope for nothing greater than that. To gather all together here, where Jesus is, where Jesus is staying, here in his promises, here in his body and his blood, in his mercy and forgiveness for those that you bring, his mercy and forgiveness for you. So gather here where Jesus is staying and stay with him. And then from here, go and enter the fray. Do the work of mercy. Speak the word. Speak Jesus to the lost and the trapped and the wounded, knowing this, that they may refuse to listen. They may spurn your aid. They may refuse to believe, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who saw Jesus' miracles and heard his teaching firsthand. But whether they believe or not, they will know that the word has been preached to them. They will have heard the promise that Jesus has died and risen to forgive them their sins and give them his eternal divine life and strength. And they will know that Jesus is here at work among them in a wego. God is doing the work. God is changing the minds. He's healing the hearts, fulfilling the hopes. So even if they refuse him, you will not have failed. In this, your baptismal calling, your anointed purpose to speak and live Jesus' life right where you are, your calling will be fulfilled in Jesus. Now, all of you have people in your lives that you already know and love who need to hear these very things. All of you know someone who needs God's gifts in your neighborhood, maybe in your homes, gifts to support their body and livelihood, gifts to save their lives from eternal death. Dear Christians, the harvest is ripe. The field is waiting. The enemy is afraid. Take up the arms that God has given to you. Take up the promises and go forth as God's secret weapon against evil. Anointed in Jesus and bearing his gifts, God will manifest his glory here at Zion and in a wego through you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.